sacked by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
10, 5, touchdown!
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Popper from the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. Every championship team has leadership, but the teams also need a heartbeat. And that's what Antonio Pierce was to the New York Giants as they captured Super Bowl 42. Antonio's road to the NFL was not an easy one. He went undrafted in 2001 and started his career with the Redskins. Antonio brought his unique brand of football to the Giants in 2005 and helped make Big Blue history. In his five seasons with the New York Giants, Antonio Pierce made his mark as a tough, aggressive linebacker with a certain nose for the ball.
Russell gets out of it, chased by Kiwanuka, strip sack fumble. It is picked up by Antonio Pierce.
Bulger back, steps up, fires it over the middle. Intercepted by Antonio Pierce, his second of the season.
He was named captain of the defense in 2005.
Swagger back, over, four wheels, under, 33 buzz, Holy Tahoe, alert Fox, ISO it, rock.
Giants string it out, and Antonio Pierce wraps him up and drops him.
Under pressure, sack.
And in 2006, he recorded a career-high 138 tackles and was selected as a first alternate to the Pro Bowl. It was an amazing accomplishment for a kid who grew up in one of the roughest neighborhoods in Los Angeles.
It was challenging. I mean, because it didn't matter which corner you went down. It didn't matter what park you went to, what school you went to. Gangs were active, and so was drugs. So the one thing about growing in inner city, most kids, they rely on sports to get away from things, and I did that as well.
Pierce played 2 years of football at Mount San Antonio College in Walnut, California, before transferring to the University of Arizona. He had his best season as a senior, recording 77 tackles and 3 sacks, and was excited about the prospect of playing in the NFL. But in the 2001 draft, he was passed over by every team.
It was funny, at the time when I came to the league, you know, the 6'1", 235 linebacker was small, because they wanted the 6'3". Everybody wanted another Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks, Harry Carson. Well, you look at the National Football League now, Antonio Pierce probably been a higher draft pick because you got a kid that can run, come in, and play. But back then, that wasn't the case. They wanted a bigger guy, so the knock I got was, he's a little light.
The Washington Redskins signed him as an undrafted free agent, and he played in all 16 games as a rookie. In 2004, he earned the starting role at linebacker and logged a team-high 114 tackles. But at the end of the year, the Redskins chose not to renew his contract. And on March 3rd, 2005, he signed with the New York Giants as a free agent.
You know, you're playing in the NFC East, and all the teams hate each other, so yep. The Giants are one of the teams that you hate. Now, all of a sudden, you become a New York Giant. Yep. What was that like?
New York brought a lot of different things to me, and I remember when I first got here, that first week or so, one of the media guys asked me, you know, what do you want to do when you leave here? I said, I want to make a name for myself. I want to come here, make a name for myself, be on a winning team, and win a championship.
So you come in, and you quickly establish sort of a leadership role. How does that develop?
When I got here and playing against the Giants for 4 years, I already knew the talent. I knew what they had. You know, played against Tiki, played against Shock and Eli Manning his rookie year. So I knew what they had. I always felt they were missing a little edge they needed, just a little bit more fire, a little bit more that passion, a little something to come out. And I thought I could bring that here.
Let's get it, baby. Let's get it. I got you now. Oh, you got me.
How did you deal with Coughlin early on?
We got along good. The one thing I've always appreciated about Coach Coughlin is he's wanting to win. He wants to win. He wants to win bad. Now, his message comes across differently to some guys.
Firm, fair, honest, and demanding. That's the code I've always operated under.
And I think it took time for guys to understand what his heart really wanted.
All right, so he's under fire at the end of 06. Despite however guys might have felt, mm-hmm. when the head coach was getting fired at and when the quarterback was getting fired, it almost seemed to be a rallying point for you guys.
Yeah, I think it was tough. We also saw it as a point where we got to have the 53 guys in this room worry about the 53 guys. Forget everybody else. Forget the media. Forget the experts saying, you know, we've been an underachieving team. Let's go out there. Let's stay focused as a team. The only way we can show how we felt is by our actions and our play.
All right, but you got a new defensive coordinator. You're playing linebacker for a team steeped in tradition, and you give up 80 points the first two weeks. Did you think it was going to work? Did you believe in what Spags was preaching?
It was tough. Boy, that was tough. I've never been a part of nothing like that. 80 points, and I just felt like we couldn't stop anything. The most basic plays, we couldn't stop. We couldn't figure it out. And we were a team in turmoil. But that Monday, guys made up their mind. I remember that being in the defensive meeting room and said, man, that's enough. Forget about pride. Forget about tradition. Look at when you turn on that film. Look, who do you see? Who do you see? Are you proud of what you see on film? And I think guys took that to heart.
The goal line stand in Washington to stop the losing streak. You're 0-2 at that point. 0-3 is death in the NFL. How fitting was it for that to happen in Washington, considering you had been a Redskin?
First and goal from the 1 yard line, you think your chances, and you look at the percentages, they're slim. But I just remember guys coming out and just everybody said, tighten up, tighten up. And I thought Kavika Mitchell did an outstanding job. Pass plays, our defensive line got a good push. And then, you know, on that fourth and one, I mean, from Fred Robbins, OC, and all those guys just crushing that right-hand side, you felt a shift of power. Guys, this works.
And the Giants may have saved their season with a stirring victory against their NFC East rivals.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Antonio Pierce. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Antonio Pierce. The goal line stand against the Redskins ignited the entire team, and the Giants went on to win their next six games. But in Week 16, in a rain-soaked game against the Buffalo Bills, New York desperately needed a victory to secure a spot in the playoffs.
Was that the craziest weather game you ever played in? It was sunny, like 50-mile-an-hour winds, ice, snow, rain, everything, all in like 10 minutes.
I just remember watching Ahmad Bradshaw just run like a wild man in that game. You know, a rookie kid. Just, you know, sometimes you need a kid that doesn't understand the moment to really seize the moment, and that's what happened with him.
So tell me what you guys were thinking in the New England game. You guys played that game against the Patriots as if it meant everything in the world.
It was a measuring stick. One, where does our defense stand against Tom Brady, Randy Moss's great offense? How are we going to respond to a team that's basically coming into our house, in the Giants stadium, saying, we're going for this perfect season, and by the way, you guys are just in the way. That didn't sit well with a lot of guys. One thing we knew, we took a lot out of that game. There was a lot of things we did very well and dominated this team that was undefeated and perfect. And I think that's what it gave us. It gave us that we can do this. It gave us a little bit of belief.
Although New York fell short in the end, the Giants earned the respect of the best team in the game and proved that they could compete with anyone.
Well, if they play like they played tonight, the New York Giants can make some hay in the NFC playoffs.
All right, so the Tampa game, you go down there, and you're just a better team and you beat them. But now you got to go play the Cowboys, the number one seed, your arch rival. In the first half, they run the ball extremely well.
Yeah.
But you keep them out of the end zone.
If you're not scoring points when you get down to the red zone or moving drives or having these 10-minute, 12-minute drives and not putting up 7 points, you get the other team a little bit of life. And we knew one thing. If they ever give us the opportunity to rush the pass or to get after the quarterback, that's what we did best all season long.
Trailing 17-14, the Giants mounted a fourth-quarter comeback to take a 21-17 lead. And once again, the defense would have to come up big to preserve the victory.
So it's down to one play.
Let's go!
A season is down to one play.
Fourth and 11 at the Giants 23.
So what's going through your mind is Romo's pass is going to the end zone.
And I remember, you know, we all dropped back. They needed a touchdown score, so we're all, you know, 10 to 12 yards deep. The ball goes over our head, and I'm just thinking, come on, we worked too hard. We fought too hard to come back in this game. We've been through so many ups and downs this season. Let there be somebody there. And R.W. McCord is the last 3-4 games of that season, played outstanding football. And that's who you turned around. And you know the ball's in the air around R.W., he's gonna catch it. It wasn't coming out of those mitts. So I remember watching our sideline just erupt, like going crazy, like almost like a college atmosphere. And the game was electric the last, you know, 12 to 15 minutes of that game time wise. So you felt that energy in the game. And when that happened, here we go.
All right, so now you go to Green Bay. Lambeau Field, it's cold.
Welcome to Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Second coldest game ever at Lambeau Field, minus 1 degree with a wind chill of minus 23.
All right, so Jacob sets the tone early, running over Woodson. Yeah. Talk about how a defense feeds off that.
That sent shockwaves through our sideline. So right there, we sent a message offensively how we're going to play football. Now we need to send a message defensively, but that was a tone setter like no other.
Talk about Eli and Plaxico's performance that game. I mean, they looked like it was 70 degrees out.
It looked like they were out there one-on-ones by themselves playing football. And it was fun to watch. And Al Harris had a heck of a year that year. And Plaxico took him to school. He took him to school. And Eli threw every ball like no other. In the cold conditions, with the gloves on it. Everybody's talking about Brett Favre and how he was a pro. That day, the legendary Brett Favre had to take a back seat to Eli Manning.
So during the course of championship seasons, fans, media, history will always remember plays. But arguably the greatest play of that season came on defense, and you made it because they're driving. Looks like they're getting momentum to the game back, and they run that screen to the left-hand side, and all I see is a ball carrier, two blockers, and a touchdown. And somewhere Antonio Pierce appears, fights through a double team, makes a tackle. Greatest play of your career?
Because of the moment, yes. And I remember that play. I had another rookie in there with me, Michael Johnson. A little confusion on the play, who had who. And all I know, I said, I just got to shoot my guns, man. I got to go in there and I got to take a shot. And I just tried to split the lineman. I was like, if I can grab cloth, I'm not going to let go. And lucky enough, I was holding on long enough. I think I was dragging him down, and we had three or four guys come swarm. We took him down, and we held him to a field goal. And as that game went on, you realize the difference between touchdowns and field goals are Super Bowls.
The Giants' defense continued to frustrate and confuse Brett Favre. And in overtime, Corey Webster's interception set the stage for another dramatic finish.
When Tynes goes running out for the 47-yarder, I mean, what are you thinking at that point after you just missed a couple more makeable ones?
I know this is sad to say, and a good friend of mine's, but I'm thinking like, nah, maybe it's too far. Let's, you know, let the offense maybe try to pound a little bit more. Maybe we need to go for it. But there's one thing about it. And I believe this. If a guy shows the confidence that he can do something, let him do it.
All right, here goes Tynes again from 47 yards.
There's certain sounds you hear when a kicker kicks a ball, and you know it's good.
Does it have the distance it is? Good!
And all of a sudden, again, you heard another eruption. Guys running crazy over the field. It's something I've dreamed about my whole life. Just enjoying the moment and soaking it in, and that's what I did.
They don't believe what you just
they
did.
They didn't believe.
You believe.
They didn't believe.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Antonio Pierce. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Antonio Pierce.
The New York Football Giants and the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42. Patriots 18-0. We know all about their credentials. How did the Giants pull off one of the major upsets in Super Bowl history?
What was it like that week of the Super Bowl now getting ready for the Patriots? You had played them tough. Everyone said, you know, the Giants played them tough. They showed sort of the blueprint of how to beat them, but they're not going to win the game.
The cockiness and I think the arrogance throughout that week from everybody about how the Patriots was just going to slap us around annoyed a lot of people. And I think, you know, with the certain comments that Tom Brady made throughout the week, about how many points, you know, after Plaxico made his prediction, and he kind of laughed it off.
We're only going to score 17 points? Okay.
How concerned were you? Because no one outside of the Giants knew how injured Plaxico was.
Yeah.
And he was so important to what you guys did, especially coming off the Green Bay game.
Yeah, we were concerned, but at the same time, you try not to put negative thoughts in your head. And as a defensive player, you just say, well, only thing we can worry about is not giving up points, and we're not in that position anyway. So, you know, our focus, again, was stopping the run, getting the matchup we wanted to get Tom Brady and get the sacks that we thought we had missed out on the last game and get after him.
In that game, the offense does you a big solid right out of the gate because they go on that long drive. Now, they only get three out of it, but that sort of set the tone for the game, didn't it?
Especially for me. I'm not going to lie. I was a butterfly. I had everything. I never, except for my first game, my rookie year, I never had that stomach bubbling, anxiety. I mean, I was jittery bug, you know. So that kind of broke the ice for me. Our offense in that first drive gave us the confidence, and I think you can see that arrogance and swagger that they had, the Patriots, dwindle a little bit.
Tuck was a beast in that game.
Oh, man.
Like, you know.
They had a matchup problem with Tuck. Their guards could not handle Tuck. It's too quick, too athletic. The moves that he was doing from a defensive end standpoint, a D-tackle, gave them problems. If they could give out an MVP in the first half, he's the MVP of the Super Bowl, hands down. I mean, he dominated. I remember looking at the sideline and said, hey, man, do what you do.
Inspired by Justin Tuck's dominant performance, Pierce recorded 7 solo tackles and assisted on 3 others as the Giants' defense held New England to just 14 points.
Fires over the middle, caught there by Welker.
He gets pummeled by Pierce.
But in the game's final moments, it would be the New York offense that produced a miracle finish.
Going to the Tyree play, tell me your view of that play.
Everybody knows Eli is probably athletic, moving in the pocket, but running around avoiding, yeah, it's not his forte. And just when the play started, I'm like, oh, man, we can't give up a sack right now. No way. And Eli, when he broke away, I'm like, okay, good. And I just remember him chucking it. And I'm like, well, who's he throwing it to? And the ball goes up, and then, you know, you see this little scramble. You're like, hold on. He's got the ball in, like, a funny demeanor, in a funny way. One, you realize, great play by Eli. Two, you're like, how in the heck did David Tyree do that? I still today, whenever I see him, I say, man, you're a blessed man. You're a blessed man. I don't know if you can do that again. Even if you tried a million times, I don't know if you can do it again.
Manning calling signals, takes the snap, looks left, lobs it left, first is wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
So Plaxico scores the touchdown, but now you know that it's still Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And there's still Randy Moss. What was that last series like for you?
We couldn't say it enough times in the huddle to our safeties. Back up. Back up. When that last pass went up, and I remember I was about 25 yards deep, so I think even on that play, the safeties were 40, and they still almost got overhead. I'm like, and they dropped it, and that's when it was just like, that's it? We just won the Super Bowl? It's not real.
And that is it. The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots 17-14.
World champions, baby. Write that down.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Antonio Pierce. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Antonio Pierce.
Champions! Yeah! 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 Who's the number one team in New Jersey?
Giants!
Time for the captain. You brought it around the New Championship Trophy. Number 58, Antonio Pierce.
Now you're a Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
What was it like those couple days after when Antonio Pierce, undrafted free agent, was now the starting middle linebacker for the Super Bowl champion New York Giants?
You dream about that as a kid, man. I mean, you know, at every level, you know, it's a Pop Warner championship or it's high school, state championship, you know, college, NCAA. But the big dog is the Super Bowl. There's only a handful of people that have that ring that walk around. And then you won it in the Mecca. In New York City, where it's bigger than life.
Champion!
And when you come back home and you see the millions of people showing up when you're going down for a parade, that lets you know that everything that you work for, the sweat, the pain, the broken bones, is worth it. It was all worth it.
Hey, I'm Antonio Pierce of the Super Bowl champions, New York Giants. Behind me, 300-plus kids getting ready for the 4th annual Antonio Pierce football camp at Compton College. Please come join me.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Let's go!
Now, you haven't forgotten where you came from, and you've been very proactive with the camps and giving back to the community. Why is that so important to you?
The camps, that's the easy part, man. Dealing with kids is so easy because they yearn for the drive, the knowledge to sit there and hear what you have to say to them. Just to even look in your eyes and be in your presence, kids, the smile that they give you. And I was that kid.
Oh, boy.
Have anything changed when you've been here?
Yeah, a lot of things have changed since I've been here in Compton. But it's not about what happened when I was a kid. It's about what's happened for these children. So we're going to make it have a good time for them and wear them out a little bit and give them a little bit of football.
So they get it. You know, I'm not talking from a guy that was looking from the outside in. I was inside that war zone with them.
When it came time to retire, how hard was that to make that decision?
As tough as it was and as much as I fought it for months, what regrets would I have? I lived a childhood dream. I made a name for myself. I won a championship. I was able to take care of my family. I was able to see places and do things I would have probably never done. But sometimes you got to do what's best for your family. I thought for the 5 years that I gave the New York Giants, I gave them my heart, you know, my soul. For some people, I never played for no other team. When I walk down the street, I could be suit and tie. You see the blue on me. When I'm in the airport, when I'm international, wherever I am, you see the jersey. You see the giant colors over me, and that's what I portray.
It's clear that Antonio Pierce's heart is true blue. And for a kid who grew up in California and played his college ball in Arizona and started his career with the arch-rival Washington Redskins, Antonio Pierce has left his mark indelibly in the history of the New York Football Giants. That wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles Antonio Pierce. Make sure you join us again next week right here on MSG for another edition of Giants Chronicles. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.